Well, good morning, church. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you. This morning, we're continuing our series called The Tender Commandments, and we're noting how they're not just 10 commandments, they're 10 gifts from God, from a loving God who tenderly guides our life through them. And today, we're coming to the third commandment, deals with the Sabbath, and we're calling it Stop in the Name of Love. Now I know everybody's thinking about it, so let's just get this out of the way.
Stop in the name of love before you break my heart.
All right, now it's over. It's over. Seriously, try to get that out of your head now. But I knew it was going to happen, so I figured just get that out in the open. All right, well, let's take a look now at this third commandment as it appears in Exodus chapter 20. It's actually a very long commandment, the longest of all the commandments. We're only going to read the beginning part together. So let's read on the screen. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And like I said, that's just the first part. After he says, on it you shall not do any work, he goes on to say, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It's interesting that God says more about this commandment, more about taking a day off, than he does about murder, about adultery, or even his holy name that we talked about last week. It's the longest of the Ten Commandments, and I think with all these words, he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to say, this is not just a suggestion, this is a commandment. In love, I'm commanding you to take a day off, take every week, take it seriously. So it's pretty clear. No one is to work on the Sabbath. So how can we think about the Sabbath? What is it basically? It's basically God's antidote to burnout so that you'll stop and rest periodically. As I said in the beginning, right, it's a day for your soul to catch up to your body. Your body's just off and running, but your soul needs to take a break and rest. Now, what is he talking about here? What does the word Sabbath itself mean? Well, basically, Sabbath means for us, it's a day of rest. Every seventh day, you ought to take a day of rest. Why? Well, this is God's gift to us. People had made the mistake of seeing the Sabbath as oppressive rules that were to be obeyed. They complained more about Jesus' healing on the Sabbath than practically just about anything else. And so Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This is for your benefit, God says, because I love you. Every 7 days, you need to physically, emotionally, and spiritually recharge because your batteries run down. Jesus called himself the Lord of the Sabbath. We can think of this commandment as coming from the God of the stop. God of the stop. For you to recharge. We're going to talk more about how later, but first a little bit more about definitions. When is the Sabbath? Does it have to be Saturday? Sunday even? Friday? When can it be? I would say God doesn't care as long as it's once a week. One day a week, the seventh day. Now the seventh day was traditionally Saturday for the Jews. As a matter of fact, Shabbat, what they call that day of the week, is also the same word for seventh. Okay, so it's built right in to their language. And the Sabbath is, if you use the traditional counting of the week, Sunday's the first day of the week, and the Sabbath is the seventh. And so the Jews practiced that literally. But what we find in the New Testament church is that they came together to worship, to break bread on the first day of the week. Okay, why is that? Because the first day of the week, we read, and if you just do a search on the first day of the week, all the other verses that are, the verses that are going to come up are going to have to do with the day that the ladies went to the tomb, the day that the Lord was resurrected. That was the first day of the week. And so it became to be known as the Lord's Day. This is how the Apostle John refers to it in the book of Revelation. On the Lord's Day, he says, I was in the Spirit. And he goes on with his revelation. And so Christians have begun to celebrate the Sabbath actually on Sunday, the day of the resurrection, the Lord's Day. And so we continue to do that, remembering his resurrection on Easter. And really, we find good New Testament advice on this from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossians. He says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat, drink, with regard to the religious festivals, the new moon celebrations, or the Sabbath day. This was what the Pharisees did. He's saying those things were good, but they were a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality of all those things is found in Christ. So now the Sabbath law, the Sabbath command for that day is fulfilled in Christ. So now your day of rest, you have freedom. He goes on to say in Romans, whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Every day is God's day. But if we are going to keep the day holy, and that's what holy means, to be sanctified, to be set apart, we have to then set apart a day. It has to be a day that's unique. It has to be special. It has to be sacred and dedicated to God. Doing this makes it a form of worship. That's how we make one day special or sacred or holy. So how do we keep one day holy, right? Well, we treat it differently as the other 6 days of the week. We need a change of pace. We reserve it for God and we make it special. So I'm going to give you a few broad categories of ways in which you can keep the Sabbath day holy. And the first is use the day to rest your body. God says your body needs to rest. You, of course, knew this. But if you need scriptural support, you can see this in Psalm 127. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. It's going to wear you out. But God, he grants sleep, rest to those he loves. And it's so important, remember, that God used himself as an example of rest. He did all of the creation, everything in the universe. 6 days he made the heavens and the earth, the sea, everything that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Was he tired? No, he's all powerful. But he's modeling something that is a very important principle, and that is rest after work. It's a healthy rhythm of life. As a matter of fact, back in 1961, the United States Supreme Court ruled that it's okay for businesses to be closed on Sunday. You may know a favorite chicken food chain of mine is closed on Sunday. But this Supreme Court ruling back in the 60s was not actually on religious grounds. They said, no, this isn't the enforcement of any particular religion on the people. In fact, it's just natural law. And if the government wants to prescribe a healthy season of rest, it's built into the very fabric of humans to need periodic rest, recreation, health. I always love it when society or sociology or physiology or medical science, it agrees with what God says. So it's true. We need to rest. And the funny thing is, here we are in this 21st century and we have more time-saving devices than ever existed, and yet people have less time to themselves. They seem to work harder. Is it just me, or raise your hand if you think all your time-saving devices aren't saving you that much time? It's just more things to take care of, right? Oh my goodness, we spent 3 weeks trying to fix our time-saving internet here at the church. It's just how it goes, and it gets us so busy, and it gives us more to do, more to keep track of. But think of it this way. If you find yourself burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you thought you were because you're burning out twice as fast. It's actually possible to have so many irons in the fire that you put out the fire. You need that day of rest. You can be consumed by your career and even if you're retired, you can be consumed by all of your commitments. There's lots of things that pull you toward work, more money, more recognition, more promotion, more sense of fulfillment, achievement, accomplishment, whatever. The forces all around us say more, more, more. You can even become addicted to your work. But our bodies were not built for non-stop work. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, with all his wisdom, he says, the toil of fools wearies them to the point that they do not know the way to town, right? It's foolish. It's foolish to work to the point of toil that you lose your ability to even do your regular daily things like going into town is kind of what this says. So let me just tell you, speak to you, whatever you do for a living, please stop it for one day a week. Don't bring your work home with you 7 days a week. Now, I think COVID has actually given many people who dreamed of working at home, they have the opportunity to work at home. And many people have found it very, good in many ways. There's a lot of advantages to working at home. But one disadvantage to working at home is that your work is always at home. And one advantage, if you're able to get back into the office as COVID restrictions relax, I encourage you to do so that you can have that separation of work and rest rather than actually, because if you're continually working, then you're putting a kink in the system that God gave us. It throws you off of kilter, if you will. The Native Americans had a saying that rings true, you break the bow if it's always bent. Even farmers know to let the earth lie fallow for a season in between harvests. Sabbath rest is built into nature. All right, so the first thing you do is you rest your body on the Sabbath. I like that it's the first day of the week, if it can be the first day of the week, because then you can think of it kind of like your tithe of your time, right? It comes out first. But this well-known Sabbath, here's something else we need to know. Excuse me, this well-known psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. If you never thought of it this way, he makes me lie down. Have you ever gotten to the point where God has had to make you lie down because you wouldn't lie down on your own? I think all of us do this at one time or another in our life. We work so hard that the bottom just falls out. Maybe you just push for a goal, but then after that is done, you just collapse and you just have to stay in bed, or you find that you get sick, or you may even land up in the hospital, all right? God will make us lay down if he needs to. Now, some people struggle with this because they think that if I stop, then I'm being lazy. Many of us were brought up with a work ethic that just said, do more. It's lazy to stop. Well, we should look at Jesus. Jesus regularly stopped. He regularly retreated to quiet and solitary places to get away from the crowds. And yet, nobody accomplished more than he did in his 3 years of public ministry. Jesus rested. God the Father rested after creation. Why then would you think that you don't need to? Who do you see yourself as? If you're unwilling to take a day of rest, then you're basically saying, I have so much work to do, I'm so important, that if I stop, then the world is going to break. Which kind of sounds silly when I say it that way, right? But think about it. If you're refusing to stop, that's kind of what you're doing. Well, what this third commandment really does is it brings to mind what really all of the commandments do. If we break any of the commandments, they actually go back to a first commandment violation. If you are sitting there and you see yourself as commander of the universe, so much in control, and so it's so needed for you to continue to work, well, in this commandment, God is saying you can resign as general manager of the universe because that's God's job. He's allowing you to do that. And actually, a reluctance to rest is a sign of immaturity and insecurity. If you're parents and you had little kids when they were little, did they like to go to bed? Or when you were little, did you like to go to bed? I can remember many times sitting at the top of the stairs after my parents had sent me up to bed, complaining that I wanted to continue playing, or I wanted to be down doing what they were doing. I was rebellious even from a young age. But I still do that. It's like, you know, bedtime comes and it's like, but I have more to do. Well, our parents are wise when they force a child to stop because they know that you need that rest, you need to go to bed, or you're going to be worthless the next day. So sometimes God will even make you lie down in green pastures, no matter how much fun you're having, no matter how much work you have to do. But here's the thing, it's not just your body that gets tired. You not only get physically tired, you also get emotionally and spiritually tired. There's really two different kinds of fatigue. There's physical fatigue, and then there's kind of like an emotional, spiritual fatigue. And here's the thing. I think that spiritual fatigue is a far greater problem in our society today, because I think nowadays a higher percentage of us work behind a desk. We do more things on the phone, or we're driving in our car. There are definitely, obviously, people who still work in very physically draining jobs. But again, for many of us, and I think particularly in our area, many of us find that our emotions almost get more drained than our body does. And the problem with that is you can spend the weekend, you could even sleep the whole weekend through and rest your body, but you can go back to work on Monday still emotionally exhausted and drained, because physical rest isn't enough. And so that's why God commands us to do more than just rest our body on the Sabbath, but also to recharge your emotions, to recharge our emotions. Again, one of the things I think that comes with so many technological advances is that there's so many more details for us to manage. Think of the things that you have to do from your phone. We have records on this and records on that. You may have actually, you know, back in the day, you would keep in touch with a few friends from high school. Well, that day is gone. Now, you got probably, depending on how big your school was, you could easily be keeping in touch with 200 friends, you know? And you gotta laugh at this one's jokes, and you gotta recognize when that one's kids is doing something great, or, you know, you get jealous of that one's car or their vacations, or you're shamed by that one's workout because look at what they're doing, and meanwhile I'm sitting here on Facebook, you know, and you get shamed by those ones' dinners, you know, those just look so great. Or those friends, you kind of have to turn them off because you can't stand their political views. Whatever it is, this is so much for us to juggle, and our emotions need to take a day of rest as much as our body. So how do you do that? This one I'm going to unpack in a few smaller pieces of ways that you can take that emotional recharge. And the first is, on your Sabbath, include time for quietness. That Psalm, 23rd Psalm that we know and love, that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." He says right after that, "He leads me beside quiet waters," or still waters. "And in so doing, he refreshes," or restores, "my soul." Quietness and soul restoration or refreshing go together. I mean, quite frankly, we live in a world of noise pollution. How hard is it to find a place that's totally quiet and peaceful? I think we live in an area, particularly, it's just so densely developed that, you know, you can go from hearing sirens to hearing planes or helicopters and motorcycles, and that's just on our street now that the road's gone through. It's noisy, so you need to find a place where you can come apart. Someone once said, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. The Bible gives us some examples in Isaiah chapter 30. I don't have it on the screen, but it says, "In quietness and confidence will be your strength." Psalm 46 says, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." Part of your Sabbath needs to be a still time. And what happens is many of us can use our Sabbath or our weekend or that time away to do all our home jobs, all our home projects. We got to squeeze in the recreation. We got to squeeze in the visiting, the shopping, the partying, the watching TV. And we just never actually have any quiet time. So we wonder why we go back to work stressed, even though we've taken all this time off. When I was involved in summer camp for those years back when I was in Arizona, we used to have a thing for the campers in the middle of their very packed schedule. We had some time scheduled for them that was on the calendar. It was FOB, which stood for flat on bunk. Didn't have to sleep, didn't have to read your Bible. We encouraged them to do that, but just sit in stillness, right? Not just, and for us adults in the room, not just, still while we're asleep, but still while we're awake, all right? I don't know why it's so hard for us to take this quiet time. I think it's just in general in America, we hate idleness. We're always in a hurry. We always have to accomplish. We're always on the go. That's why we hate red lights. That's why we hate lines at the grocery store or the doctor's office or whatever. And the internet is not helping because we don't have to wait for anything. Any hour of the day, we can do what we want. We can get it instantly online. And if you have Prime, you can have it here tomorrow or later in the day. All right? It's kind of so desperately we need to have a quiet place. Jesus, even when his disciples, so many people were coming and going, it says in Mark's gospel, that they didn't even have a chance to eat. So Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So much is going on in your life. You need to get alone. You need that time of quietness. Because, as I said in the beginning, our bodies literally get ahead of our spirits and ahead of our emotions. So that Sabbath is a chance for our soul to catch up with our body. All right, so another way you can recharge your emotions is to include in your Sabbath rest a time for family. Rochelle and I right now, we're working on a project where we're converting some, which is mostly Rochelle, by the way, who's doing this, but I say we, because you know, that's how it goes in marriage, right? but Rochelle is converting all these videos for my mom from VHS to a digital format so we can share them with my family. And what I'm noticing as I'm going back and looking at these videos from my childhood is how many of them my mom took from the door of our house that it kind of led out onto our patio. It was like a little screened-in patio where basically every weekend my brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, everybody would come and converge. And yes, it always was around pasta dinner, Italian family. It was always pasta on Sunday. Pasta and family and church, of course. But I think, and it's funny because it wasn't just, this was how it was in my family, but it wasn't just my family that did this. This was very common in America, historically, that Sunday was a day for church, and it was a day for family. And the truth is, God made all these things. He made church, and he made family, and he made work, but he doesn't want us to spend all our time on work. He wants us to spend time on church and family, and so we can foster that relationship with him and with the people in our lives. It's always that cruciform shape to our life. We need time with him and with family. So some examples from scriptures. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, enjoy your life with your wife or with your spouse whom you love. It's actually a God-given gift. Another one, Proverbs, a heart at peace gives life to the body. Take some time to be with your family so you can be at peace with your family, at peace with the people around you. And know that when you're doing this, you're not wasting time. You're developing relationships that will all ultimately recharge your emotions and recharge your spirit. And at Redeemer by the Sea, we want to help you do this. It's why we've kind of structured our ministry in this way, worship, grow, and serve. We consider it a simplified way. We call it worship plus two. We want you to be in worship, but then we want to simplify how you engage with church. We don't want you to take, you know, work so hard at church, at work, and then spend all your other time, free time at work and at church. Oh my gosh, I just messed up that delivery. Work, church. You get the point. I messed it up, but that's not what we want. We want you to have some time for family, so we say be in worship, and then very simply be in an area of ministry where you're growing, in an area of ministry where you're serving. The rest of the time, enjoy your family. Right? If your life is busy, take some time, rest, play with your kids, talk to your spouse, or maybe you, in your family, need to do that in reverse. Whatever is necessary, do that. All right, last, include time for fellowship with other believers. We draw strength from being together. That's why the writer of the Hebrews says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more, as you see the day approaching, he's kind of saying, this life is so crazy. We need each other. Because when we're together, we encourage each other. King David says in Psalm 122, I was glad or I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He looked forward to it. Why? Because of the rejuvenation that comes together as we meet and we encourage one another. Quite frankly, it's difficult to be a believer out there in the world. It is. It's getting harder every year to remain a believer in this world. We need each other to encourage us and to build us up, inspire us, and challenge us to even go deeper in our faith. And I think it's worth it. I don't know if you've experienced this. Of course, I'm talking to you, so you're here. But I think, have you ever found in your mind, you said, I don't know if I have, I've got so much to do, I don't really feel good today, I've got a lot to catch up on, I just don't have time to go to church, but something makes you decide to go, and then you're glad you came. I hope that's something you've experienced, because this time that we have with others rejuvenates us, recharges us, it rebuilds us, all right? In the New Testament, actually, we read in the book of Acts that they gathered in homes together, they broke bread and studied the word together. Now, I know COVID has put a damper on this fellowship that we enjoy, this food fellowship that we enjoy with other believers. We're slowly bringing our refreshment service back, and I just want to encourage you, if you're not in a growth group, get in one. But now, as the restrictions are relaxed, as you feel comfortable and safe, I want to encourage you, don't just add, you know, going to the salon, going to the movies, going to, you know, different recreation events or whatever that you didn't used to be able to do before. I say do all those, but don't forget to get back together now with your Bible study group, with your growth group. Gather in your homes again and have food and spend that time together. Be sure to add that back in as you're adding more COVID things back. All right. Last point. This may be a good segue. We've rested our body. We've recharged our emotions. We need to refocus our spirit. This is another thing that's important to use our Sabbath day to do. It might even be the most important part of the Sabbath. Psalms say, let it come, let us bow down in worship. Let's kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. In order to truly make our Sabbath day a holy day, it needs to be a day that includes worship. Time to focus on God, time to remember Him and what's important, and to fill up our spirit with word and sacrament. This Sabbath commandment is actually the third commandment in what we call the small catechism. And so the way the catechism works, it tells you something from one of the chief parts of our doctrines of our faith, and then there's a question, what does this mean? And then there's what we call an explanation. So the commandment is, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? Let's actually read this out loud together. All right, can you read what this means? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Now that's the small catechism. Luther in his large catechism goes on to explain it more deeply, as you might expect, small, large. And he says this, and I'll try to break it down a little bit. He says about this commandment, you are daily in the dominion of the devil. Anybody disagree? Devil is hard at work. Who ceases neither day nor night to steal unawares upon you. In other words, he doesn't stop whether it's day or night. Tries to kindle in your heart unbelief and wicked thoughts against the foregoing, which is all the other commandments and things he's talked about so far, and all the commandments. Therefore, you must always have God's word in your heart, upon your lips, and in your ears. And this is the important part. But where the heart is idle and the word does not sound, he, meaning the enemy, the devil, breaks in, and he's done the damage before we're aware. What he's kind of saying is that if you and I make the mistake to rest our body, rest our spirit, open our heart, it's that place where the heart is idle, we're in that quiet time, and we don't fill it with the word of God, it's just like Jesus says, when the house is swept clean, seven more demons move in. You've created this great space. God has commanded this space for Him. And if we do that, if we take time and we rest and we let the distractions fade away and we don't fill that void with God, who's going to rush in? And the damage is going to be done before we know it. It is a warning. It's such a big mistake to take a day off and to use it to care for our physical needs and our emotional needs, our rest and our recreation and our relationships, but ignore the most important need, that our spirit has been depleted and it needs to be refilled with God's presence, His power, and His love. We make a mistake in America of turning Sunday into a fun day, taking a holy day and making it a holiday. So much so, again, first commandment, we can have recreation and rest become our God. And even sterner than Luther's warning is Jesus. And Jesus says this, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul?" This commandment is about soul care. It needs our attention. It needs our attention regularly, every Sabbath. All right, so God wants you to stop. He wants you to relax your body. He wants you to regroup with your friends and your family. But he also wants you to refocus your spirit, reexamine your priorities, reevaluate how you spend your time, and do it in a way that lets you tune into God, listen to him, and let him fill you with his truth, that spirit of truth that Jesus talks about in the gospel. And we do that through his word and his sacrament. And I just want to say, this world will suck that out of you so quickly, you need to do it every 7 days, refocusing your spirit and worship. Like I said, it's the tie that comes before the rest of the week. All right. Now, remember I said, God is doing all of this out of love. He's not just fulfilling a need that he has with your Sabbath. He's fulfilling a need that you have with your Sabbath. But like all things, everything that God requires of us and we fulfill obediently when we do that, through that, he always blesses us more in return. If we're faithful and generous with our gifts, he always blesses us more in return. If we're kind and we're generous to others, he always blesses us more in return. And if we take that Sabbath and we give it to him, he always gives us more back in return. It's just how he works when we are faithful to his commands, because his command is actually for us, that he can bless us through it. When I was young, again, I've been talking about that a lot lately, but this practice of Sabbath was so important in my family that even if we were on vacation, we would look for a place where we could worship. And we visited a lot of different churches. And we kept up this practice with our kids as they were growing up. And I have, you know, I'm a pastor, so I have friends in a lot of places. So we went to a lot of other churches over the years on our times off. And I will admit, there were times where we had time off and I did homegrown worship. I can do that as a pastor. Kind of snuck that in there. But one thing, if there's anything good that's come out of COVID, is that we are now streaming, you know, both live and all our services are recorded. So unless you want to, if you want to take an opportunity to go to a friend's church or to find another church in a new city, that's awesome. But if you don't, just, you know, pull out your phone or your computer and dial it in, and you can be worshiping with us here. I want to encourage you to do that. Don't use those times as an opportunity to discontinue your Sabbath. And then one more point of wisdom, I guess you could say, for parents out there. This is something that you can't just talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. You can't just tell your kids about the Sabbath. You've got to model it for them. Build into their life this habit. They're not going to get this rest anywhere else. The world doesn't give them this. So help them by building into their lives this habit for Sabbath with other believers and the spiritual recharge that comes. All right? So God knows what he's doing with this commandment. Just like your car manufacturer gives you that little booklet, and it's got that schedule of maintenance, and it tells you how often you have to do everything. God's telling us this is your schedule of maintenance. And just like that tire pressure or that, you know, oil change or whatever, you can ignore it for a while, but not without cost. Same thing with that. You can ignore the Sabbath for a while, but not without cost. If you find yourself chronically fatigued, emotionally or physically or spiritually drained, you're probably not keeping up with the manufacturer's maintenance schedule. He made you. He knows what you need more than you do. So I just want to say that, thankfully, God isn't just loving us with this commandment, because this is a loving commandment, right? Remember in the beginning I said you want some help? God's giving you. He's offering you help. He's giving you permission to take a rest. But he's not just loving us with this commandment. He loves us with his son. If there's those times in your life where you have failed to rest, you've failed. You've burdened yourself. You've failed in so many ways. Whatever it is, or the world is just burdening you and you haven't been able to unburden it, no matter how hard you've tried to Sabbath, Jesus has come to me, you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. If you have too heavy of a burden today, well, you're probably trying to be God. Let me be God. You be you. Come to me. So I just want to challenge you to take this commandment seriously. It's not just a suggestion. It's not an option. It's a command. God knows what he's doing. You can rely on him. He knows what you need better than you do. So that's why he said the Sabbath was made for you. And when you're obedient to him in that, he refreshes you and restores you in return. Amen? All right, let's pray. And let this be your prayer. I'll say it, and I'm saying it for myself. You pray this for yourself. Lord, I need rest. You know I do. I'm tired, and you offer me rest. Thank you, Lord. I receive it. I lay down my burdens, and I turn them over to you. I want to trust in you more than my own abilities and my own effort. I want to rely on you to complete my work when I am faithful to honor your Sabbath and keep it holy. Lord, thank you that you've commanded me to take a period of rest each week. Give me the strength to say no to work on my day of rest. And Father, show me how to make my Sabbath holy. Not simply a day of recreation, but a day that is holy and dedicated to you. Show me how to take times of quietness, how to be with my family and with Christian brothers and sisters. And Lord, as I take time to be with you and members of your church each week, redirect and refocus my life such that I think and act in accordance with your will. And therefore, my work will be fruitful in your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I want to encourage you, whenever you do make your offerings, to see them as a way you honor the Sabbath. Because on this holy day, you're not only spending the fruit of your labor on recreation, but you're returning a portion to the one who gives you labor and recreation and rest. And also, when you do, you know that your offering helps support the word and sacrament ministry of this church so that we can continue to be a place of Sabbath rest and fellowship and renewal for generations to come. All right? All right, let's stand now and together join our hearts in prayer. Father, we come to you today, and we know that your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your church as we remember all the things that Jesus has spoken. Glorify his name among us in every word and deed, but also in our Sabbath rest. And God of comfort, give hope to your people in the midst of this world of death and despair. Put your Spirit within us to believe, to live, and to serve according to your promise and your command. Lord, lead our homes to confess our confidence in you and in your power over all things. And may your power be demonstrated in and through us by your Holy Spirit's work in us. And Almighty God, your Son acknowledged that Satan was the prince of this world, and yet he's one who his reign is judged and whose time is short. We ask you to beat back his lies and his deadly work in this world, that your good and perfect creation may be seen through that. We ask that you give us good government and leaders who are both honest and faithful. And let us look eagerly for your Son's return, and Lord, let that be soon. We call on your name, O Lord, praying in your Spirit to help and save all those in need. We pray especially for Anne as she heals and recovers, for Vicky as she's going through chemo with an aggressive cancer, for Barbara's sister Susan as she heals for her heart condition, for Audrey Wickstrand's granddaughter and her family who are living in Israel, just about an hour north of all that area of conflict. Lord, we lift up those who mourn. For Susan Colgan from our church, her mother-in-law Addie passed away on Tuesday after a battle with cancer and pneumonia. We ask that you lift Susan, Jason, and family into your arms and comfort them. And Lord, for Sandra Berger's daughter's friend Lupe, and their family as they mourn the recent death of Lupe's only child, Carlos, who is vacationing in South America. Lord, for all of these concerns, those who have asked for our prayers and those that we hold deep in our hearts. Lord, we lift them to you. We ask that you renew them. You renew the face of the earth. You look with favor on your creation and you fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in us, Lord, the fire of your love. And Lord God, through your Son, you promised your Holy Spirit would convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. We ask that you do that in us, that you enlighten our hearts so that we would confess our sins, we would obtain everlasting righteousness through Christ. And Lord, when it comes to judgment, that every trial and temptation that we face, that we're comforted knowing that Christ has borne our judgment for all of our sin. And now his Holy Spirit dwells in us as we carry your name and your light into the world. For into your hands, O Lord, we commend all these things that we pray for. We trust in your love and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever, ever. Amen.